You are listening to a remastered recording from an older cassette format titled, Which Hat Will You Wear? CD number 2 out of the series, 12 Great Sermons That Will Knock Your Socks Off by Pastor William J. Lytle, preached at Gospel Baptist Church, Bonita Springs, Florida, on October 20th, 1996.
Chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ our, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, which is evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man which with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian nor Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all things, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in a word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That's a long passage, but I'm going to point out some things quickly in that passage that is going to teach us a basic truth. It's not really a secret. It should be well known by Christians who read the Bible of how to live a victorious Christian life and how to be a person other people like to be around. That's the subtitle. How to be a person other people like to be around. Notice the words in this at the beginning. You seek. If then you're being risen with Christ, you can put the understood there is that you seek the things which are above. It says you set your affection on things above. You mortify your members there in verse 5. You put off, he says, all these things, anger, wrath, and malice. He says in verse 9, you put off the old man. You put on the new man. You put on, therefore, the elect of God. You put on charity. You let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You do all in the name of Jesus. Now, why did I say that? 11 different times in that passage, Paul refers by the Holy Spirit to you doing something. You do it. Now, there's a form of Christianity that the people that believe, and it's not true to the Bible, that says when you get saved, now what is true, when you get saved, God, it's by faith and not by works. Not by works, not by baptism, not by confirmation, not by something you do. Just trusting Christ by faith. Coming in a repentant spirit, being sorry for your sin, and asking God through Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you humble yourself before Jesus, believing he died, was buried, and rose again the third day. You do that. That's an act. Just like when you go buy a driver's license. It's an act. You do it. You pursue it. And you ask God to save you. Now that's totally by faith and by grace. That's unmerited favor or divine power to do God's will. Now, after that, everything else in the Christian life is up to you. Now there's a school of thinking about the Christian life that says, when I'm a Christian, then God, after he saves me, should then just empower me to do all those things which are right. Let me say this. When you get saved, it makes the power of God available to you. That's all it does. It makes the power of God available to you. God does not force you to be a Christian. The Holy Spirit does not rape anyone.
The Holy Spirit of God does not rape you. He asks you, He moves with you, He woos with you, but He does not force you to do His will. Now, once you get saved, that's all by faith and not by works, but after you're saved, you have within you the power to live for Jesus. You have it available within you. Now, this is going to answer some of the questions that I hear in counseling. Like, why, Brother Bill? Since I've been saved, I've just struggled so, and I have trouble with these areas, and I just don't seem to have victory in these areas. And this is a secret that Paul and other writers here are going to reveal to you, and it's going to be the Bible. It's not me. It's not Baptist. It's not my philosophy. It is simply biblical truth. You buy the tape, listen to it again, check it out. You're going to find this as biblical as you can be. But man, is this an important truth this morning. He says there, 11 different times you are to do something. Now, God does not ask you to do something that you cannot will to do. That's not original with me. But God does not ask you to do something you cannot will to do. Now, before you're saved, you cannot will it. You want to live for Christ, and you cannot will that, because the power of sin has not been broken in your life. But when you're saved, a supernatural act happens. The Holy Spirit comes in, and with Him coming in to dwell with you forever, He breaks the power. He breaks the power of sin in your life. Now, that doesn't mean He forces you not to sin. All He does is He breaks the overcoming power of sin, and He now makes available within you the power of God. So now you have the old nature still there, and possibly powerful, but doesn't have to be powerful. Is direct connection to me, as it were, is over. It's available to me if I will it to be available to me. Now the power of God's available to me if I will the power of God to be available to me. Now, 11 different times in Colossians chapter 1 through 17, I mean, a very thorough chapter on how you're supposed to be as a Christian and how to avoid the wrath of God in your life, because He said, because of these wicked things, the wrath of God is on the children of disobedience. And if you want to avoid the wrath of God in your life, then He says you need to avail yourself to putting on Christ. Notice the words, put on, and put off the old man, put on the new man, put off the old man, put on the new man. You mortify the deeds of your body. Now, there's those folks who say, well, I just sit back and let God do it. Well, if you let God do it, you aren't going to get it done. Because God's not going to force you to live the Christian life. And you may be frustrated and mystified as a Christian why you're not having more power. This is going to answer that question for you today. Now, let's go to another passage. Romans chapter 13. And like I say, if you don't want to turn to that, that's fine. I'm going to read it quickly. Romans 13 and verses 12 through 14. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us, therefore, do what? Cast off the works of darkness. That means that must have something to do with my will. Amen? Amen? Anybody home? Lights on, I don't see anybody home. God's not going to mock you. God doesn't ask you to do something. You can't do it. You can do it. You can do it. If God comes to me as a Christian... And by the way, you have to be a Christian to have this power available to you. If He comes to me and He says, the night's far spent, the day is at hand. Bill, you therefore cast off the works of darkness. And Bill, you therefore put on the armor of light. And Bill, I want you to walk honestly as in the day, not rioting or drunkenness or in chambering or in wantonness or in strife or in envy. Bill, I want you to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Bill, by the way, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, what's he saying? He's saying, Bill, you've got some choices to make. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I've got choices to make. He's given me available power of the Holy Ghost. He's given me, I have the old nature. Oh, I know I've got that. And I've got the Holy Spirit here. And now he says, it's up to you to avail yourself to my power so that you can put on these things. But, folks, you have to make that choice. That's five times he mentions that you have a direct volitional will choice in this particular passage, Romans 13 here. Now, let's go to another passage. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, he does the same thing again. He says, likewise, verse 11, by the way, 6:11, he says, likewise reckon ye. That means he says, likewise, Bill, reckon you yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. When I will to reckon myself, then God gives me the power to do it. I don't take the credit. The only credit that I would ever get is that I will to do it. I want to do it. God gives me the power to do it. And that's what that is. And verse 12, Bill, don't let sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. You know, that seems to hold me responsible, doesn't it? And in verse 13, neither, Bill, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. That holds me responsible, doesn't it? That's a will choice, isn't it? He says, Bill, but yield yourself unto God. That's a will choice. Unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Look at verse 16. Know ye not that to whom, Bill, you yield yourselves, servant to obey, his servant ye are whom ye obey, whether if ye yield yourself to sin, that works death, or to obedience, that works righteousness. Bill, either way you do it. If you do it unto life, you're going to get righteousness. If you yield yourself unto your old nature, it's going to work death in you. And look at verse 19. He says, Bill, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For, Bill, as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now you, Bill, yield your member, servant of righteousness unto holiness. Now, that's seven times, 11 times in the first passage. We had five times in the second passage. We had seven times in this passage that the Bible says, I have some choices I can make. Will choices. Now, God is not mocking you. You don't have to be a slave. You don't have to be weak. And you don't have to be a victim in the Christian life. That's what that tells me. Amen? Is this just me? No. The Bible says over and over, and I like, you know how I put my name in there? By the way, why don't you do that? Because the Bible's not talking, when you read it, he's not talking about me. He's talking about you. He's not saying, well, that's good for you, Bill. That's good. No, he's talking about you. Your name's in there. And he wants you to do those things. And God doesn't want you to do something that doesn't give you the power to do it. The power of God, people, is available. Listen, you're living a defeated Christian life. This morning I have some good news for you. You don't have to. You don't have to live. You don't have to let cigarettes smoke you. You don't have to drink alcohol. You don't have to watch pornography. You don't have to watch things that are wicked in front of your eyes. You don't have to do those things because the Bible says if you're saved, that you have been given available power to overcome those things. Now, who overcomes those things in my life? Obviously, it's the power of God. There's no power within me other than the power of God that can do that. But I don't avail myself to that power, and so consequently, I wallow in my defeat. And I say, woe is me. I just can't seem to get the victory. Well, why don't you choose to? You say, Brother Bill, I've tried to and I didn't. No, somebody that wants victory over something has a do or die decision in that area. They say, look, I'm overcoming this thing if it kills me. And I will to do thy will. You really, don't lie to me. You really want to overcome something? You're going to be on your knees every day saying, God, in the morning you're going to get up and say, God, I will to do your will today. I will not give myself to the old man, but to the new. Well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. Now, I want to get some terms developed here. The Bible says old man. It's not talking about how old you are. Not like you ladies refer to your husbands. But the old man is the old nature. It's your wicked old nature. Old meaning because you got saved and you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean old things are passing away. Behold, old things are becoming new, but it ain't a done deal yet. God has cut his power. He don't have a direct link on you anymore. But there's not a lot of distance between the old man and the new man. I can switch. How do I know that? Well, Peter confessed Jesus in the 16th chapter of Matthew. He says, who are you? And he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, hey, my flesh and blood haven't revealed this to you, Peter. The Holy Spirit revealed to you. Just a few verses down the line, Jesus said, I'm going to have to go and suffer at Jerusalem. Peter comes up and says, no, absolutely can't do that. And he says, get behind me, Satan. Same guy. It's easy for us. There's not a lot of distance between these two natures. Old nature, new nature. You can be in the new nature and flip right over by will choice and be in the old nature. It's easy to do that. And in fact, but you don't have to do that. God makes provisions. You don't have to. 4:22 says that you put off concerning the conversation, that's the manner of life, of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And I put in my notes here, and you, Bill, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And you, Bill, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore you, Bill, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. You, Bill, don't you let the sun go down upon your wrath. And you, Bill, by the way, don't give place to the devil. Don't give a stronghold, as it were, to the devil. Now, in these passages that I've read this morning, some 29 times, you count them, 29 times, a will choice, a volitional choice is given. A volitional choice, a will choice. Andrea, bump him, will you? My son, he's closing his eyes. I'm making sure he's not praying. Hey, you're not too old for me to come down there and wake you up. Anybody else sleeping? That's just a warning. I can get by with it with him. Hey, you got a sunburn choice? Aren't you glad you moved down here? My kid's not sleeping through my message. I don't care what happens. If this helps you sleep, though, you can buy a tape, go home, it'll cure insomnia. I've had people thank me for that. But, okay, back on track. I'm back on track. All right, now. But God be so cruel as to ask you to do something it's not possible. Oh, we're on a lighter moment here. Here's the way it works. I get up in the morning, and I have a choice to make. I had a choice to make this morning. In fact, man, I felt rough this morning. Whew! This was some good sleeping weather this morning. I had the window open, cool breeze going across my bed there. I thought something, you know, I could have done this. I could have done this. I could have put on the old man this morning. And I could have put the old man on this morning. And I could have said, I think I'm just going to be grouchy this morning. I think I'm just going to pick on my wife this morning and all the faults that are so easily readily available to my memory. I may not be able to quote the Ten Commandments, but I definitely can quote 10 faults my wife has. But I got a choice, see. I could put on the old man, or I could get up and I could put on the new man. I could say, I wanna be spiritual man today. I'm gonna put away wrath. I'm gonna put away anger. I'm gonna put away lust. I'm gonna put away evil desire. I'm gonna put away these things. And I will, by the grace of Almighty God and His power, I want the power of the Holy Spirit to infuse me today, and I wanna live according to the new man. Now, Paul puts the Christian life as a day-by-day life. He doesn't put it like, I came down to the altar when I was 12 years old, I knelt there, I got the baptism, and from that day on I've lived with the new man. No, that's not the way it is. Paul said, I die daily. What's that mean? That means this old man here has to die. He's alive and well every morning, and in between sometimes. And sometimes I get up and I just feel the old man's mighty, he's alive today. So I say, old man, you're gonna die. I'm not gonna live by you today. I will, by the grace of God, to put on the new man. Put on. It's just like putting a hat on. Put on the new man. It's just as easy as I grab this hat and I put it on. That's what God's saying to you this morning. He's saying, look, you're living a defeated life. You're a slave to habits. You're a slave to swearing. You're a slave to lust. You're a slave to anger. You're a slave to bitterness. You don't have to be. You're born again. You saved. You've got the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be. It's a will choice. God never asks you to do something that you cannot will to do. See, when I stand before God someday, and He judges me, the great white throne, a little slip of the tongue there. The Bema seat of Christ. I'm not going to be able to say, but Lord, it was just too hard. Oh, you whiner. Hey, you know there's not going to be any whining in heaven. Praise God. Praise the Lord. No whining in heaven. This is whining. I'll whine now. Oh, you know, the whole world's against me. You know, the old man whines. He complains. He's depressed. He feels sorry for himself. He thinks everything's against him. But not the new man. The new man, the new man's empowered. The new man said, heaven's my home and Jesus is my Savior. The Bible's my book. All the promises in the Bible are mine. I'm going to someday march on streets of gold and have gates of pearl, and the walls are lined with every manner of beautiful a stone of all colors. And I can't, nothing can go wrong for me. I may have a rheumatoid arthritis, or I may have a broken leg, or I may have had an olive accident. But the new man says, that's okay. God's working a super plan out in your life. And through this suffering, you are going to be developed in such a way like steel is brought into the fire and made high quality. So the fire and trials of your life right now are making you high quality. But that's not what the old man says. The old man says, you know, God isn't doing right by me. You know, if God shouldn't do that to me. Why He's picking on me? Well, that person has something for me. And they're picking on me. You know, he didn't shake hands with me today. I bet he's mad. Well, he didn't look at me, or he didn't smile at me. And husbands and wives, oh, I'd love to get into the marriage arena on this. I know that area, kind of. But you look at your wife, instead of saying, man, that's the woman God gave me. She's precious. You say, man, she's getting a little fat. You know, she's not, well, she got wrinkles now. And the old man looks at them other younger girls and goes, wow. But that's not the new man. The new man says, man, this woman's been with me for 25 years. She's put up with me for 25 years. You should have put up with her. But the new man wouldn't say that. The old man would say that. But the new man would say, man, what a privilege it's been for me to have somebody that has done my laundry and washed my dirty socks and cleaned my dirty dishes and swept my dirty house and put up with my fits of stupidity. And all my outrageous, crazy things that I've done. Oh, what a wonderful woman. I'm so blessed. Oh, no. Some of you decided to put on the old man. You said, and you all you can do is think of something rotten and critical and bitter about your mate. That's why you're having marriage problems. That's why you're having marriage problems, because all you did, according to the Bible, was you put on the old man. See, it's your choice. It's your choice. God says you can live a happy life. No matter, I'm talking, man, hey, you can't lose with a new man. I mean, you can go bank. You can have things happen to you. Name a tragedy that can happen to you. And God can turn it around with the new man and make it to glorify God. I was thinking of Johnny, I think it is, that jumped off of a bridge and broke her neck and was paralyzed from the waist down. Yep, Johnny Erickson. How did Johnny survive the way she has survived? I'll tell you how, right here. Right here. But I'll guarantee you there's people that broke their neck about the same time that Johnny Erickson broke her neck and were paralyzed, and they're wallowing in their self-pity, the old man. I'm talking about Christians. And you don't have to do that. Folks, Christ has come to proclaim liberty. And He's not the liberty that these liberals want to try to tell you, liberty to do your own thing and liberty to have no rules. That's a bunch of baloney. That's crazy. It's liberty to obey Christ. It's liberty that I'm not a slave to the old things of the world. I'm not a slave to the old nature anymore. I've been set free. Let me read you a passage. Romans chapter 6 says this. If we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, so shall we be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. And henceforth, we should not serve sin. We don't have to serve this old man anymore. For he that is dead is freed from sin, Romans 6:7. Now what's that mean? I get up, and brother, I do this every day. I say, God, I want to live by this man. Now once in a while, I make a will choice and live with this man. But you know, I don't like anything about this man. I don't even like me when I'm this way. When I'm this way, I don't like me. I'm nasty, I'm critical, I'm hateful, I'm bitter. I'm just like you are. Because we're all the same. Oh, we may have little personality differences, but to be honest with you, as the nature goes, you're all the same. And you need this new man. Now, what have I? This is simple and somewhat junior churchy, but I like it. I'm going to put on the new man, which is made in the image of Christ. And this new man is going to help me. I'm tired of people blaming their gift. I'm just to this or I'm just to that. I'm just to this, and that's why I do what I do. No, you do what you do because you put on the old man, said the new man. Don't blame being a choleric or a phlegmatic or a melancholic or any of those other temperaments. You blame yourself because you make those choices. How about today you choose life? How about today choosing joy? How about today choosing happiness? How about today choosing encouragement? How about today choosing contentment? Because you can have every one of them. You say, Brother Bill, I'm not content. That's because the old man never is content. I don't care how much you've got. Right. I don't care if you own the finest house in all of Collier County. If you aren't saved, or if you're saved and in the old man, you're not happy. Everybody's trying to get your money and everybody's trying to steal from you. You'll be griping and complaining about something. That's because that's the old man. And everything about the old man works death, but you don't have to live by him. Live by the new man. So basically, the choice is yours this morning. Which man will you live by? The old man or the new man? Now, you teachers, if you see me come in with the old man hat on, I'd try to avoid it. I think it'd be a good idea if we just wore these around the house, don't you? That way I could just not talk to my wife if she came in with all these hats on, you know? I just stay away from her, man. She's really in the flesh today. She's defeated today. By the way, if I would have chosen to live in the old man, I wouldn't be married today. Because the old man's hard to live with. Almost impossible. And that's why marriages are breaking up in Christian homes. It's not because of the lack of God's power. It's for the lack of the Christian choosing God's power. We're not going to stand for God and blame him. He'll say, man, I made available to you all the power of heaven, and you didn't choose it. And now, look what's happened. How about to make the decisions this morning in the invitation time? If you come, we're going to sing Just As I Am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. How about making a decision this morning to choose life? Choose life. God brought the children of Israel to that choice one time. He says, choose life. Choose life. How about you choosing life today? How about you choosing the things of God today? Choice today is yours. If you die and go to hell without Jesus, by the way, that choice will have been yours too. You can be saved today. If you've never publicly made a decision for Jesus, I beg you in Jesus' name to do that. Why? Because Jesus said, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. That's a choice. You make that choice. You'll notice throughout the whole Bible, it's choice after choice after choice after choice. So make that choice today. You're going to be saved today? Why don't you make it right now? Why don't you come forward? Some folks will, one of the men with men, ladies with ladies, take you over to the side room, show you how to be saved. And then maybe you're here this morning, you've been living a defeated Christian life, and you have nothing been going right for you, and you seem like there's no power in your life. Why don't you today choose life? It's been there all the time. You don't have to be depressed today. You don't have to take medicine of everything like that. God will keep you from being anxious if your mind is set on those things which are above and not on those things which are below. The new man wants to think about heaven all the time. The new man wants to think about the promises of God all the time.
But the old man doesn't want to think about that at all. He wants to think about the problems. He wants to think about the insurmountable odds against you. How about you choosing today? It's that simple. It's that simple. And we'll stand together, sing two verses of Just As Am.
This concludes CD number 2. Please feel free to visit our website at www.gospelbaptistchurch.com or email us at gbcs@earthlink.net. If you need to speak to us directly, please call area code 239-947-1285. Thank you, and God bless.